The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana. The news presented by Baba Yakubu
and Baba Utu.
In the headlines, unemployment takes center stage at opening of World Economic Forum in Switzerland. National Labour Commission directs striking teachers of colleges of education to return to the classroom. 24-year-old Nanayao Edula be remanded in custody for defiling kindergarten 2 pupils. And Morocco's parliament amends penal code, which allows rapists of underage girls to marry them. But first, the summary by Baba.
President John Mahama has joined leaders at the World Economic Forum in Switzerland to deliberate on effective measures to address unemployment. The leaders agreed that unemployment has become a global problem, hence the need for a collective effort to address it. Our correspondent says the opening session focused on commitment to improve the state of the world. The National Labour Commission, NLC, has ruled that it is improper for teachers of the colleges of education to embark on strike at a time the ministry is addressing their concerns. The NLC has therefore directed the striking teachers to return to the classroom. The decision was arrived at a meeting between the teachers, the NLC, and the Ministry of Education. An Accra Circuit Court has remanded a 24-year-old teacher, Nanayao Edulabi, for defiling a kindergarten pupil. The accused pleaded not guilty to the offence and will reappear in court on the 5th of next month. The prosecutor told the court that both the accused and the victim are in the same school, and at about 3 p.m., the victim decided to use the washroom, but the teacher followed her and had sex with her. And Morocco's parliament has amended an article in the penal code that allowed rapists of underage girls to avoid prosecution by marrying their victims. The move follows intensive lobbying by activists for better protection of young rape victims. The amendment has been welcomed by rights groups.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
Leaders of the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland have agreed that there's no easy route to addressing the issue of unemployment except through building partnerships and developing a creative economy. The challenge of unemployment, which has taken a global dimension, came up for discussion at the opening of the forum, which was moderated by Professor Klaus Schwab, founder of the World Economic Forum. The opening session, which focused on commitment to improve the state of the world, had South Korean President Park Jin-hye and Liberia's Ellen Johnson Sirleaf speaking on how to address the challenge of youth unemployment. President John Mahama and Japan's Prime Minister Shinzo Abe sat in at the opening session. Pascaline Adadivo has sent this report from Davos, Switzerland.
Davos is touted as one of the world's finest meeting places and has been home to the World Economic Forum for many years. The World Economic Forum offers the platform for leaders to identify the complexities of a changing world and develop initiatives towards responding to those challenges. It is for this reason that the forum invites global leaders from across business, academia, entrepreneurs, and civil society to give the discussion a wider spectrum. South Korean President Park Jin-hye believes developing a creative economy where the private sector is the main driver is the way to go. This means that government must create the enabling environment by going into partnership with the private sector to roll out new models or jobs that do not only employ graduates but people with technical and vocational backgrounds as well. She does throw this into the educational sector, calling for the restructuring of country's educational sector to place emphasis on technical and vocational training. The move, according to her, will encourage entrepreneurship.
To reinforce it effort, we will set up a creative economy joint task force. This will include venture companies, SMEs, large companies, as well as the government. The private sector will be in the driver's seat and lead the creative economy. Furthermore, to facilitate startup and entrepreneurial risk-taking, we are moving to a nanocivilist approach to regulation. We are drastically cutting red tape that stands in the way of convergence. in the way of new industries.
Ellen Johnson Sirleaf of Liberia blamed the high unemployment rate in developing countries, particularly to increase in population. She said countries must adopt multiple strategies to solving the challenge of unemployment. Madame Sirleaf mentioned investment in technical and vocational education and the need for governments to improve the business environment for foreign and domestic firms to thrive. She said her country, even though recovering from the devastating effects of war, has introduced a pilot cash transfer system, which is similar to Ghana's Livelihood Empowerment Against Poverty Program, LEAP. An amount of $20 is given to each person per household monthly to enable them venture into small and medium-scale enterprises. According to Madame Sirleaf, unemployment is the greatest threat to political stability.
The problem of unemployment requires multiple strategies. First, substantial investment is required in national educational systems, including technical and vocational training. Second, effort must be made by governments to improve the business environment for foreign and domestic firms. Equally, as emphasized by the G8 countries at their 39th summit, businesses must recognize the importance of taxes, trade, and transparency as critical for food prosperity and economic development.
Liberian President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf ending a report by Pascaline Adadevo.
The National Labour Commission, NLC, has directed teachers of the country's colleges of education to call off their indefinite strike over their condition of service. The decision was arrived at a meeting between the teachers, the NLC, and the Ministry of Education. The public relations director of the Ministry of Education, Paul Kwampa, who disclosed this to Radio Ghana, said the Labour Commission ruled that it is improper for the teachers to embark on strike since the ministry is working on their concerns. The teachers claim since the elevation of the colleges to tertiary status, nothing has been done to improve upon their condition. They said the Ministry of Education and the National Council for Tertiary Education are failed to honor their responsibilities to the teachers. Mr. Kwampa spoke with Yaya Kwamwa.
We met at the National Labour Commission. They were also present. They were led by their president. We were also led by the Honorable Deputy Minister in charge of tertiary education, Honorable Samuel Okudzeto Abrakwa. The commission listened to our evidence and that of PETAC and then came to a conclusion that a lot was being done by the ministry to address their concerns and that there was no need for them to embark on any strike action because it was premature. A lot of issues are now being addressed by the Ministry of Education. So based upon that, they were called upon to call off their strike action immediately.
So have they indicated that they are prepared to extend their position on the
ruling? You know, the commission has the powers of the High Court, so they have ruled that they should call it off immediately. And that all the issues that there is are issues that have been addressed by the Minister of Education.
For now, we are sure that they'll be going back to work tomorrow.
What I heard from the government is that they said they'll meet their constituents and then take a final decision. The decision by the commission is that they should call off the strike action.
Yeah, if you say issues they are raising, what are these issues and where has the Minister of Education worked out?
They are migration to full tertiary status. There is a roadmap that has been drawn up. The status for the College of Education has actually been prepared. The condition of service, the scheme of work, all those issues are issues that we actually talk about.
Public Relations Director of the Ministry of Education, Paul Kwampa.
The Ministry of Trade and Industry has signed a $5 million MOU with a U.S. company for capacity building of small and medium-scale enterprises within the oil and gas sector. The five-year project under the Ghana Supply Chain Development Program will be funded by U.S. aid. At the signing in Accra, the sector minister, Haruna Idrisu, said the agreement is in line with government's decision to enhance local content. Yvonne Atiligo and Priscilla Appiah's report.
Mr. Idrisu said the agreement is part of efforts to develop the Western region as the country's next major industrial hub beyond Tema.
The net focus of this administration will be the development of the Western region as Ghana's next major industrial hub, arguably motivated by three or more important reasons. One, the availability of mineral resources in that area. we sit with government new decision of value addition and not just to export them as primary commodities or raw products, be they minerals or be they commodities. And also strategically because of the presence of a port in that area and the prospects of future development of the port in that particular area. The third most important reason, which is why we are particularly happy with this initiative, is the discovery of oil and the decision of government to develop a petrochemical industry in that particular area in order to take advantage of Ghana's discovery of oil. All of it intended to create jobs, intended to ameliorate poverty and up the living standards of the Ghanaian people.
The sector minister noted that the agreement has come at the right time and will not only help build the capacity of local business service providers, but that of the Ghanaian firms to supply to the oil and gas sector.
In getting this $5 million support over a 5-year period, which will support the building up of small and medium enterprises in the small and medium enterprise regime of Ghana, particularly within the oil and gas area. We are particularly delighted about this development because it sits with government's new policy decision on enhancing local content. Indeed, the Public Procurement Act is being reviewed to enhance local participation and local content in the procurement process and, where necessary, to give preference to local companies where they bid and compete with foreign companies in many of these transactions. So we are particularly grateful to you that this initiative will build the capacity of our small and medium enterprises within the oil and gas sector.
The U.S. Ambassador to Ghana, Jane Crates, said the signing of the MOU is a demonstration of the U.S.'s commitment to ensuring that Ghanaian businesses have the expertise and support needed to bid for and, most importantly, win procurement contracts in the oil and gas sector.
Yvonne Atiligo and Priscilla Appiah's report.
Abantu for Development, a women's rights and policy advocacy NGO, is piloting the development of gender mainstreaming guidelines that could be utilized to access oil and gas issues in Ghana. The project manager of Abantu, Elenja, said the project is to address gender gaps and benefits for women and men of different social groups with reference to the oil and gas industry. She was speaking at a workshop to validate the guidelines. Rukayatu Musa and Sheena Sichiyama have the details.
Abantu for Development, in partnership with the Network for Women's Rights in Ghana, NetRight, the Women in Law and Development Africa, WADAF, and the Federation of Women Lawyers in Ghana, FIDA, with support from Star Ghana, are working together on the one-year project. This project is to strengthen women agencies to demand accountability, equity, and transparency from industry actors to improve livelihood and also to deepen knowledge about the gender issues in the oil and gas sector, as well as in all governmental policies. The project manager, Ellen Ja, said the oil and gas value chain in Ghana currently focuses on scientific, technical, and economic issues, but the draft will address social and gender issues that will engage the attention of policymakers, the private sector, and civil societies.
We are saying that if you take the oil and gas value chain, which has the awarding of contracts and monitoring of operations, revenue collection, revenue management, development of sustainable projects, along all these value chains, issues of welfare should be considered, issues of productivity, issues of efficiency, and then women's empowerment. And so this is the framework that we want to input into the current Petroleum Review Act and also other sector policies and frameworks.
The Third World Network Program Officer, Paulin van der Paulin, challenged policymakers to implement policies that will encourage women in the oil and gas sector.
You can have a lot more women, not just offering food, as we have listened to in the past, but also offering their services in different ways, medically, technologically. If the policies that encourage women's participation in different spaces is there. We need to have our policy makers think along these lines, education, training, ensuring that there's a gender quotient to almost every industry that we have.
She hopes that key gender social development and livelihood issues of different groups of women and men in the oil and gas sector will be incorporated into the draft so that a tool can be available for enhancing gender responsiveness in the oil and gas sector.
Rukayat Musa and Sheena Sichiama filed that report.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, and the major stories. Unemployment takes center stage at opening of World Economic Forum in Switzerland. National Labour Commission directs striking teachers of colleges of education to return to the classroom. 24-year-old teacher Nana Yao Edulabi remanded in custody for defiling kindergarten 2 pupils. And Morocco's parliament amends penal code which allows rapists of underage girls to marry them.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with factual, accurate and credible information. We are reliable.
The news continues. The Ghana Anti-Corruption Coalition has asked government to adopt an open approach in awarding contracts. This, according to the coalition, is the surest way to reduce the canker of corruption. Speaking at a stakeholders forum in Accra, the executive director of the coalition, Florence Dennis, said contracts executed by government is funded by taxes of Ghanaians, therefore it must be accountable to the people. We bring you a report by Victoria Haji and Abigail Bimu.
According to the Public Procurement Authority, government spends 70% of its budget on procurement of goods, works and services through contracts every year. Unfortunately, information related to such contracts are either not made public or the contracts are poorly managed. This prevents the citizenry from deriving benefits from these huge investments. This is the Ghana Anti-Corruption Coalition in partnership with the Antino de Manila University of Government and World Bank Institute organized a forum in Accra to dialogue on open contracting within the Ghanaian context. Mrs. Dennis noted that if awarding of public contracts are made open, it will ensure public participation. This will go a long way to trigger better contract performance. The head of Human Resources and Administration of the Public Procurement Authority, Yvonne Van Der Poy, calls for the strengthening of institutions and civil society to monitor all procurements made by government. As she noted, will deter people from engaging in corruptible acts.
Transparent procurement procedures can contribute to a more efficient allocation of resources through increased competition, higher quality procurement and budgetary savings for government and taxpayers. Efficient and transparent procurement procedures can largely assist the local suppliers to improve their competencies as they compete for public contracts, thereby making them more competitive. Transparent procurement procedures can also reduce bribery and corruption practices. Public sector procurement.
The chairman of Ghana Contract Monitoring Group, Dr. Oboy Okasi, expressed the need for Ghanaians to show interest in public contracting.
While the project is going on, they should be interested in what is going on, look, raise issues, talk to the contract monitoring group or the other agencies to make sure that things which are not going right are put right. Not to wait until auditors come to audit the contract, the document, and then they tell us 5 years later, you know what's going on, you have to go to the Public Accounts Committee of Parliament, that the reports are looked at 7 years later. By that time, it becomes more difficult to retrieve or to set right what has gone wrong.
The Executive Director of Africa Center for Energy Policy, Mohamed Amin Adams, believes it is time more interest is shown in oil and gas contracts in order to protect the integrity of the country's natural resources. The former chairman of the Public Accounts Committee, Albert Kandapa, urged the media to demand questions from politicians in order to make them accountable to the people. The coalition launched a book on open contracting on Ghana's development at the end of the forum.
Victoria Haji and Abigail Bemu's report.
The moderator of the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church, the Right Reverend Professor Emmanuel Marty, has encouraged Christians to go into politics to create the opportunity for the appointing authorities to have quality and God-fearing personalities to choose from. He stressed that if the decent and honest refuse to involve themselves in the administration of the country, self-seekers and people with evil intentions will take advantage of the vacuum. The Right Reverend Marty made the remarks in Ho when he paid a courtesy call on the Volta Regional Minister Nilaye Afotiagbo. Our Volta Regional Minister Kobla Ali Kukubo filed this report.
The Right Reverend Marty expressed concern about what he called the winner takes all syndrome that have bedeviled the country's politics, which he stressed is negatively affecting the socio-economic advancement of the country. He therefore called on people in political leadership to ensure that they approach all issues fairly and adopt the father for all attitude in all their endeavors. Right Reverend Marty underscored the importance the Presbyterian Church attaches to education and assured the minister that the church is ready to partner government to improve education delivery and the quality of life in the country. He appealed to government to come to the aid of the Presbyterian Senior High School in Hohoi, which had its structures damaged by rainstorm, and the students are studying under trees. The moderator of the Presbyterian Church commended the Volta Regional Minister and the Regional Security Council for the able manner they handled the Nkonya-Alavanya conflict. The Volta Regional Minister Nilaye Afotiagbo commended the Presbyterian Church for its immense contribution to the development of the country, particularly in education, health and agriculture. He observed that the region is endowed with abundant human and material resources, which if exploited will inure to the development of the country. He encouraged investors to come to the region to exploit its resources. The regional minister disclosed that assemblies in the region have been directed to purchase tractors to help the local people to go into large-scale farming. Opening it, the clerk of the General Assembly of the Church, the Reverend Dr. Samuel Ayete Nyangpong, urged Christians to make kindness their overriding attribute in life. He noted that if all men and women can be kind to one another, the world will be a better place to live.
Our Volta Regional Correspondent Kobla Ali Kukubo's report.
Deputy Director of Veterinary Services of the Ministry of Food and Agriculture, Dr. Francis Peterson, has confirmed the outbreak of African swine fever in the Elembele district of the Western Region. Dr. Peterson told Radio Ghana that the African swine fever is different from swine flu, stressing that African swine fever is not dangerous to human health when affected pigs are consumed. He said the virus only destroys the life of the pigs and affects the economy of the affected country.
The TUC has added its voice to calls by the Ghana Journalists Association for a state burial for the late Komla Dumo. The TUC says such an honor will indicate that the state recognizes the contributions of people in all vocations and not those who hold political offices alone. The Secretary General of the TUC, Kofi Asamoah, said this when he signed the book of condolence on behalf of organized labor at the Ghana International Press Center in Accra. George Asikri and Ramatu Osman were there for Radio Ghana.
The Ghana Journalists Association, GJA, in collaboration with the Dumo family, opened the book of condolence at the Ghana International Press Center in Accra for the late Komla Dumo. Signing the book on behalf of organized labor, the Secretary General of the TUC, Kofi Asamoah, said the TUC received with shock and disbelief the sudden death of Komla Dumo. He says though the late Komla Dumo died at 41, his contribution to society will be forever remembered. Mr. Asamoah said the late Komla Dumo deserves a state burial considering how he projected Ghana and Africa to the international community.
What they call by baby pray for state burial for Komla. That understanding will point to the fact that wherever anybody finds himself in our society and you do your work with excellence, really serve as a good ambassador to the country. That recognition should be given to you. It should not be only politicians.
Mr. Asamoah said the TUC, in collaboration with the GGA, will concretize plans at unionizing the GGA to enable the association to bargain for better working conditions for its members to reduce the stress and frustrations that many journalists go through.
Collaboration with the GGA, we made some progress. So unionization entails job registration and some work done. So we're looking forward to concretizing all those plans, but we want to use the opportunity and also really reminding the GGA that if journalists are unionized and they are covered by conditions of service, they will be able to operate within the confines of the law, time to work, hours of work, time to rest, and then the appropriate recognition in terms of conditions of service, salaries, and all those things.
The Book of Condolence is still opened to the public at the Ghana International Press Center in Accra.
That report was filed by George Asikri and Ramatu Osman.
A student, Henry Aliba, has been remanded in custody for posting a nude picture of his former girlfriend on the internet, following the girl's decision to end the relationship. He's been charged with causing a verbal, emotional and psychological abuse. The prosecution said the action by Aliba has caused the complainant humiliation, depression and undermined her dignity, integrity and privacy. It said the two had been in a relationship for the past 2 years. During the period, the complainant allegedly gave nude pictures of herself to Aliba. However, about 3 months ago, the complainant, who is also a student, decided to opt out of the relationship. Aliba, not satisfied, threatened to upload a nude picture of her on Facebook if she did not rescind her decision. Last November, Aliba called the complainant and gave her only 10 minutes to change her decision, else he would go ahead with his threat. The complainant refused and Aliba uploaded the nude picture and tagged her as an available porn star. The complainant's attention was drawn to it by some friends. On seeing the picture on the internet, she became offended and reported the matter to the police.
A 24-year-old teacher, Nanayo Edulabi, has been remanded in custody by an Accra Circuit Court for defiling a kindergarten 2 pupil of his school. Edulabi pleaded not guilty to the offence and will reappear in court on the 5th of next month. Briefing the court, ASP Sarah Akwa said both the accused person and victim are in the same school, and at about 3 p.m., the kindergarten 2 school pupil was waiting to pick the school bus home, decided to use the washroom before leaving for home. Edulabi followed her to the nursery section urinal, where he took advantage of her innocence and had sexual intercourse with her. ASP Akwa said the accused, after the act, warned the poor girl not to disclose it to anyone or being lashed. The victim, who felt uneasy because she was bleeding, requested her mother's friend, whom she met at home doing laundry, to wash her panties. The said friend of the mother was surprised when she saw the girl's panties soaked with blood. She informed the victim's mother, who in turn examined her daughter, and rushed her to the La Paz Community Hospital. The doctor confirmed the fears, and upon interrogation, the victim mentioned Edulabi as the culprit. She was later referred to the police hospital, where she was treated and discharged. The case was reported to the Odoko Dofsu, who effected the arrest of Edulabi.
On the international front, Morocco's parliament has amended an article on the penal code that allowed rapists of underage girls to avoid prosecution by marrying their victims. The move follows intensive lobbying by activists for better protection of young raped victims. The amendment has been welcomed by rights groups. We bring you more.
Article 475 of the Penal Code generated unprecedented public criticism. It was first proposed by Morocco's Islamist-led government a year ago. The issue came to prominence in 2012 when 16-year-old Amina Falali killed herself after being forced to marry her rapist. The accused, Mustafa Falek, who at the time was 25 years, denied abusing the lady. After 7 months of marriage, Ms. Falali swallowed rat poison. The case shocked many people in Morocco, received extensive media coverage and sparked protests in the capital Rabat and other cities. Article 475 provides for a prison term of 1 to 5 years for anyone who abducts or deceives a minor without violence, threat or fraud, or attempts to do so. But the second clause of the article specifies that when the victim marries the perpetrator, he can no longer be prosecuted except by persons and power to demand the annulment of the marriage, and then only after the annulment has been proclaimed. This prevents prosecutors from independently pursuing rape charges. In conservative rural parts of Morocco, an unmarried girl or woman who has lost her virginity, even through rape, is considered to have dishonored her family and no longer suitable for marriage. Some families believe that marrying the rapist addresses these problems. Whilst welcoming the move, right groups say much still needs to be done to promote gender equality, protect women, and outlaw child marriage in the North African country.
That was a news desk report.
And a South Korean trade official who was kidnapped 3 days ago in the Libyan capital Tripoli has been freed. Officials say Han Jin-woo, who leads the Libya unit of South Korea's Trade Investment Promotion Agency, was ambushed on his way home from work on Sunday evening. Libyan officials said he was freed in Tripoli by the security forces.
To end the news, the main points again. President John Mahama has joined the leaders at the World Economic Forum in Switzerland to deliberate on effective measures to address unemployment. The leaders agreed that unemployment has become a global problem, hence the need for a collective effort to address it. The National Labour Commission, NLC, has ruled that it is improper for teachers of the colleges of education to embark on strike at a time the ministry is addressing their concerns. The NLC has therefore directed the striking teachers to return to the classroom. And Morocco's parliament has amended an article in the penal code that allowed rapists of underage girls to avoid prosecution by marrying their victims. The move follows intensive lobbying by activists for better protection of young raped victims. The news was presented by Baba Otu
and Barbara Yakubu in Accra.
Thank you.